contradiction in truth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding, Proverbs 3:13. I pointed out many times that unless you discern that which is false, you will never understand what is true. The false is the trap that holds you bound. The truth sets you free. If you do not discern that which is false, you will never be free. How true that is. If you have a belief in your mind, is it not a belief? It is not reality. An idea of reality is not reality. If you are not consciously aware of all the movements in your mind, if you are not consciously aware of your reactions to things external to yourselves, you will be caught up in them continuously. But if you are aware of your reactions to conditions external to yourselves, you will not be conditioning yourselves, because you can free yourself because of the truth. And the truth is this, that it cannot be conditioned in any way whatsoever. It never has been conditioned and never will. It is like electricity. Electricity flows continuously, no matter whether the globe breaks or not. You cannot destroy electricity in any form whatsoever, neither can you destroy reality, which is life. Now, as your consciousness is in life, and your consciousness, that life which built the body and created the body for its own self-expression, including the brain, the nervous system, therefore your consciousness is continually acting to things external to itself through the brain, through the physical instrument. But if you only know these reactions, then you are caught up in them. That is the false. That is how you get trouble, your sorrows, your emotional states, conditions, because you have conditioned yourselves through ignorance of not understanding that the consciousness within is the same consciousness of the Creator who created the whole universe, because there cannot be two consciousness, there can only be one. And that one consciousness is permeating all planes of manifestation, and therefore has its roots in infinity. Infinity means then that I am the life. That life is wholeness and completeness. Nothing can destroy. Freedom is complete pliability of mind in which there is no fixation of ideas. If you discern that through education, philosophy, public opinion, tradition, and religion, you create a limited state of mind in which you are bound. Then you can free yourselves only when you discern the fact that through these things you have been bound. But if you don't discern the fact that through these things you are bound, you are still bound with them. Discerning the false enables you to destroy the false. But if you hold fast to your ideas, this is but a belief that binds, and there can be no freedom of truth. Only when you can deny the self and dissolve it can the truth stand free and unconditioned in you. That is the self. You condition the self. The self is conditioned by itself. Remember that there is always this separate self, the individual self that is continually conditioning itself, by itself, through itself, by its reactions, by its ignorance. If you can comprehend that truth, then you can see the error, and by understanding the error, it will dissolve away into nothingness where it belongs. Just when you find the error in a sum and it is corrected, where does the error go to? It doesn't go anywhere, does it? It just disappears. So does these false conditions in you do the same thing. Freedom does not come from rebelling against the conditions and miseries we create. Neither can freedom come through trying to escape from them. For there is no escape except through understanding the cause. The self is the cause. Therefore, an understanding of the self is paramount. The truth then sets us free. But there is no use of saying the truth shall make you free. That is just a platitude in your mind. It's of no value to you. Has it been of any value to you in the past? I asked you to think about the words, the truth shall set you free. You've often said these things, haven't you? But what has it been to you? Just a platitude, an idea. But how can the truth set you free until such time as you have realized and discerned the fact that you are bound? And how you have been bound and the causes behind this binding? For instance, you may seek an escape through your self-conditioning by believing in the idea that God and you are one. But you will readily see that this will just be an idea to you, which you bring into your conditioning. Unless you realize the cause of your conditioning, if you are still caught up in your conditioning, there can be no freedom through the mere idea that God and you are one. And it is necessary for you to see this clearly. Otherwise, you'll be still caught up in this condition. Truth must become a reality to you by discerning all that is conditioning you. All that is preventing truth reality from manifesting of its own free will. Which it does when everything else is denied, everything else is seen as relative. For truth is not an idea. It is not a belief. It is not a sensation. It is not a religion. It is not any of these things. Truth does not need any of these things to make it a living reality. It is that now, and will always be the same, the Word that was in the beginning. Therefore, it is perfectly plain to a man of sense that an idea of truth is not truth. It is only in your mind, something that is relative. Anything that is in your mind is relative. But I am consciously aware of something that is not relative. I am consciously aware of a reality that is eternal. I am consciously aware of something that thinks, that creates. That is the creativeness. Therefore, I do not allow that creativeness to be bound by anything external to the self. I do not allow anything to bind that creativeness, otherwise the creativeness cannot be creative. If you then can dissolve all the movements in your mind and discern them for what they are, they will pass out, your mind will become clear, and in that clearness of the mind there is an awareness of something that is not relative. It is an awareness of something that cannot be analyzed. It's awareness of something that cannot be divided. It's awareness of something that is whole in its completeness. Yet, you cannot define it. But you know that it is. Anything you can define is not a reality. It becomes relative. The very God you pray to becomes relative to you, because you're praying to something outside yourself. And your prayers become hypocritical. Most people are hypocrites because they live in contradiction. If we become aware of ourselves, we will discern that we are in a state of self-contradiction. Of believing, of not believing, of loving and hating, of wanting and not wanting, you will note that your thoughts are born of this self-contradiction. And no matter how positive you may think your thought is, it contradicts itself. In your religious training, you are taught, "Thou shalt not kill." But you find yourself supporting or finding a reason for killing when the state demands. And the very religion that teaches you not to kill will bless implements that are devised to kill. Here you see one thought denies the other. This is not thinking at all. It is merely contradiction. And there is no contradiction in truth. And anywhere where you find contradiction, there is no truth in it. In this state of self-contradiction, there is only ignorance. So the first thing you have to do is to find out if you think at all. Or do you merely exist in a state of self-contradiction in which there is no thinking? Yet you will say that you live in the positive action of your belief. But you have never discerned your belief and how it come about and why you believe that way. Right through the world today, there is a building up of nationalistic ideas. There is a sense of separation entering into the world. I can see this is the final stage of man's destruction. And when this separation becomes too great, then man will destroy himself. The whys and the reason of it is because of his belief. You go to school, you build up nationalistic ideas in comparison with other nationals, and you think then that by doing so you become patriots. I tell you that patriotism is ignorance and destruction. The only patriotism you must have is this wholeness and completeness, where there is no division, no sectarianism, then there'll be freedom. And only in this recognition of what is taking place in the world today can you eliminate it. Because if you are caught up in this conditioning, you can never be free. I am pointing this out to you so that you can discern the self and its ways and thereby free the self from its own contradictions, which you call your beliefs. Beliefs are not the result of thinking, but the result of imitation, in which there is no thinking. If you then look into your mind and see what your belief is, you will find that it is the result of imitation. It's the result of a belief of another individual. It's not the result of your thinking. Because if you had the capacity to think clearly, you discard all these beliefs and allow completeness and wholeness to manifest itself. For instance, if you have a belief which you feel is a limitation based on fear, you seek another belief which you think frees you from such limitation and fear, but you have only substituted one prison for another. You are still not thinking, discerning that which is false. If you look into your mind, you will see that you are living in a state of contradiction. There can be no freedom in a contradictory state of mind. If you are actively desiring peace, yet actively creating war, actively longing for happiness while creating sorrow, loving yet hating, if your mind is in contradiction, then there can be no thinking in the true sense of the word. There is only one possible approach to understanding, and that is in the complete denial of everything. Then truth stands free, unlimited, and whole, indivisible. In other words, unless you can put away your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your husband, your wife, and your children, and even your own life, you cannot be a disciple of mine. Unless you can put away all sense of separation and division, you can be no disciple of the Christ. You look upon then your relations as near to you. But is not the life that is in everyone the same? Jesus was showing his disciples one life in every person, showing that they must give up all separation, all division, and only see the Christ that is complete and whole, the only begotten Son of the Father. And when Jesus spoke in John 17, verse 1 to 5, he spoke aloud for the benefit of his disciples. And as he spoke, he lifted his eyes to heaven. He said, Father, now the time has come, glorify thy Son, and thy Son may glorify thee, since thou hast granted him power over all flesh. Here he is speaking from the Christ, not from the personal Jesus, but from the Christ within. He dealt with the personal Jesus long ago and discarded it. He said, I am the Son of God. The Son of Man becomes the Son of God And in that, he speaks from the Christ. And if we see in his words, when we know the truth about it, we will see that he is continually speaking from the Christ, and seldom from the personal self, the Jesus, because he had dissolved that away. He found what the self was in his 40 days in the wilderness. And this is life eternal, that they know thee, the only real God, and him whom thou hast sent, even Jesus Christ. I have glorified thee on earth by accomplishing the work thou gavest me to do. Now, Father, glorify me in thy presence with the glory which I enjoyed in thy presence before the world began. Here he shows the eternal life that had no beginning. It existed before the world came into existence at all. The world's a relative thing. The life that created it and manifested in the world is not a relative thing. It existed before the world began. And this the Christ knew. Here Jesus was revealing the only reality in the living Christ of God that existed with God, which I enjoyed in thy presence before the world began, the Word that was with God, and the Word that was God, and the Word that manifested in the flesh. This was the invisible truth and the only living truth, the indivisible truth, the truth that cannot be divided, and the only living truth and the only true God. He spoke in relative words because there was no other way he could explain things. But his words convey to me the meaning of what that inner knowing he had. And it conveys to me the very same knowing that I have. Therefore I knew that he spoke from the Christ. And no one can read the words of Jesus until they have reached that stage within themselves, where there is no separation, no division, and where they have discerned all that is false. Even if you live in the world of falseness, even you live among all the petty things that surround you, only little people are concerned with little things. Your vision must be great beyond the horizon, and there you will find true being. Therefore, it was not a belief, but a complete understanding of reality in which there was no separation. Therefore, I am the truth, the whole truth, in which there is no contradiction, for I have discerned all illusion. This is the Christ talking, free from all that hinders the true expression. You may live in illusion, but you must understand what it is. If you're not caught up in the illusion, it makes no difference to you. It is when you are caught up in these things that worry you. Your little mind runs around those little things. The little emotions and petty things worry you every day. Why? Because you have not seen that vision that is of value to you, the true vision. Vision beyond those small, petty things. And remember what I say to you. Little people are concerned with little things. Get your minds out of it into that horizon so that you can reach up and understand that the Christ dwells in every living soul. And that's the only reality in every living being. In John 17, 6-8, Jesus says again, I have made thy name known to the men whom thou hast given me from the world. Thine they were, and thou givest them to me, and they have held to thy word. They know now that whatever thou hast given me comes from thee. So you see here, he shows that he relied completely on God within and no outside source. For I have given them the words thou hast given me, and they have received them. They are now sure that I came from thee, and they believe that thou didst send me. Here is where the disciples are beginning to realize the wonderful truth of the Christ, that God himself is the Christ manifesting in the flesh. I and the Father are one. And it must have been God, otherwise it could not have happened. How do you come into the world? You don't know how you come into the world. It was God who sent you into the world. And the purpose was to bear witness unto the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. But what do? You bear witness to all that is false and untrue. The word meaning the revelation that the Christ and the Father are one as a whole in which there is no division, no contradiction, no separation. They now know, they have now understood, I have given them the words thou givest me. The separate utterances which Jesus gave to his disciples to make up the full revelation of the wholeness of God the Father, and that there is nothing else in reality. That during his time he taught them, and the various utterances was the completeness, and we will read back and you will see how complete those words were, even when Philip didn't understand. He said, it's the Father we want to see. He said, Philip, have I been teaching you this long while, and you know not what I say still? Know you not I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? In John 17, 9-11, I pray for them, not for the world, but those whom thou hast given me do I pray, for they are thine. Oh, mine is thine, and thine is mine. And I am glorified in them. He was talking about the Christ. Christ was glorified in his disciples. I am to be in the world no longer, but they are to be in the world. I came to thee. Holy Father, keep them by the power of thy name, which thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are was. The power of thy name, completeness, wholeness, love, compassion. The name of God is love. The Christ is the love of God manifesting in the flesh. Oh, mine is thine, and thine is mine. The completeness of the all, I am glorified in thee. This is the Christ. The love of God to be glorified in thee. The disciples were the living monuments of the Christ. That is no one son on earth, but the only begotten Son of the Father, who was sent into the world to witness unto the truth of the only one, the Father. So the Christ revealed the only one, the Father. The personal Jesus dissolved into nothingness, but so many people worship the personal Jesus and lose the realization of the Christ within. They are separated in groups, denominations, and struggle against one another, when all the time there rests the power, the only power in man, the wholeness of the Father, the Christ, the light of the world that existed before the world began, but the light that came into the world, and this was the light of man. It's the only one in which there is no division. Holy Father, keep them by the power of thy name, which thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Christ, Father, Son, thus revealing God as the only real Father of the real Son that is born in every living soul. So Jesus prays that his disciples may be kept in the safe understanding of God, the only one. And as the only real living Father of all living beings, God alone is life, and life alone is God. My voice is the Spirit of God. There can be no other thing. Can you tell me what has voice? Can you tell me anything that has voice besides the Spirit of God? And Jesus knew it, that his words was the expression of the Father within him. That was the cry. There was no separation, no distinction. In this lies the power. The Master's words are clear when we understand the truth of the only one, and this can only be done when we have discerned the contradictions in the world for what they are. Thus, our only dependence must be upon him who is all in all, without contradiction. Jesus spoke aloud for the benefit of his disciples. In John 17:20-25, nor do I pray for them alone, but for all who believe in me, and by their spoken word, believe in me, the Christ, as the only begotten Son of the Father, the one and only life manifesting in humanity. He who does the will of my Father is my mother, my sister, my brother. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, so may they be in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Yea, I have given them the glory thou givest me, that they may be one as we are one. I and them, and thou and me, that they may be made perfectly one, so that the world may recognize that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, it is my will that these thy gifts to me may be beside me where I am, to behold my glory which thou hast given me. Because thou lovest me before the foundation of the world, what a truth! Don't you see that the great truth behind this thing is this one wholeness, the completeness, the love of God manifesting himself into the world through the Christ, which is his Son. O just Father, though the world has not known thee, I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. So I have declared, so will I declare thy name to them, that the love with which thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. May they all be one, for thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, so may they be in us. This means the oneness of the Father, the Christ, the one life, the one being, made perfectly one, meaning to realize that separation was false and was the evil in the world. And this separation in the world today is the falseness and the evil in the world that man is caught up in. Separate and distinct nationalities, separate and distinct ideologies, separate and distinct religions. All these are false, all beliefs, antagonisms, strife, war, and misery. And what brings it about? Just the ignorance of man. Separation is the devil in the world, and the devil does not exist as a reality, only in his illusion. But mankind is caught up in this illusion, and he destroys himself. The contradiction that separates man from man, and man from God. It is this that we must discern, not only in the superficial layer of consciousness, but in the deeper layer of consciousness. This must be established so that there can be no contradiction in thought. Man must attain this perfect state, this complete. This will enable the world to learn of the only one, the Father, as the only living being in all, and that love alone was the divine name. So will I declare thy name to them, that the love with which thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. What a glorious benediction. Just think of it. When I say these words, just think how wonderful they are. So will I declare thy name to them, that the love with which thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. The love of God, so that the disciple would not be separate and distinct from any person, that he would not see one person different from another, that he would see only the Christ, the life of God manifesting in humanity. Do you see that? Search in your own minds and you will see how far you are from it. What a glorious benediction, what words to convey the secret of the heart of God to man. For there is no contradiction in the love of God. The Father does not love one and hate another. The parable of the prodigal son reveals this great truth. Both sons were treated alike. Even the son who had strayed away and wasted his life and bride his living. The Father did never chastise him, never said, "You're a bad boy. What you've been doing with what I gave you?" He put his arms around his shoulder, welcomed him home, killed the fatted calf, and all were merry. It was only the brother that chastised even the Father. He then was angry because of this person come back and hearing everything that was merry. And when he found what had happened, he wouldn't go in. So the Father came out and says, "What ails you, son?" He says, "Why? This rascal has come back home and you've killed the fatted calf when everybody is merry. And here I am. I can't even get a kid to make merry with my friends." He says, "My son, all that is mine is thine." But he couldn't go in because he had animosity. Where there is happiness and joy and pleasure, there is truth. Where there is merriment and laughter, there is truth. Truth is not hidden behind a cloak, walking so slowly down the street, thinking, standing. Truth is freedom. Here Jesus does away with all that separates man. But the world today has not changed much because of the ignorance in the world. Are we not educated in the nationalistic spirit, brought up to love our country in opposition to another, and as regard to people, are superior to others? This false teaching is implanted in childhood, and we accept it and live it. At the same time, we listen to words of the Master. We merely take them into our prison to perpetuate our contradictory lives, with the result that we condone the very antithesis of the Master's teachings. And still we do not discern the cause of our misery. When I was home in England there, I saw a certain amount of snobbery. But wherever I saw it, I put my foot on it. It didn't catch up with me. I never said, "Your Highness, this or that, or your lady, or my lord." I said just no and yes. "Yes, my dear. Yes, what can I do for you now? What is the difference between a human being? There is no difference between one human being and another. And I stand on that and will remain like that as long as I live in this earth. If you knew who I saw and spoke to in that way, people would be surprised. Now, supposing that you met the king and you didn't know he was the king and he was an ordinary person, you came in conversation with him and you talked about everything with him and you were quite happy in conversation. And somebody whispered in your ear, "You know that's the king you're talking to?" "Oh, is that so? Oh, your majesty, I'm so sorry, you fool, you stupid ass." Is there any difference between talking to a human being and one human being? Don't you see that one, that only the name is nothing? It's a false concern. It is not truth. Freedom of the truth must be free from all these things. These are things are false, belong to the human mind, the mortal mind that is steeped in ignorance. When we recognize the truth of the Christ, we will see then we have real leaders in the world, and not leaders that create division among us, but leaders that bring unity to mankind. We will destroy those sectionalists, those divisionists. We will destroy them. We'll eliminate them from our ken. We'll bring into operation the knowledge and understanding that we do know that can bring peace and happiness to the joy of every heart in the world, whether they are ignorant of the truth. We worship Christ, yet we create division. We create war, misery, starvation, and death. Our worship is idolatrous because we deny the whole. What we must do is to deny everything else but the whole. Even the denial of our own separate life must be accomplished before truth can live in our mind heart. Denial of human unity breeds endless wars, brutalities, economic and social division and tyranny. We may understand this intellectually, but are still caught up in tradition, opinion, fear, and separation. Yes, you may understand that intellectually, but intellectualism and emotionalism belongs to the self. Realization of the truth is a spiritual thing. Belongs to the Christ, the only living expression of God in mankind. So we are still caught up in tradition, opinion, fear, and separation. We must free ourselves from the greatest and most deadly disease in mankind, which is separation and contradiction in thought. Only by constant awareness, watching every response to beliefs, separation, race, thought, and every stimulation that is a hindrance to the expression of the unity of God and man, can each thought be felt and traced to its lair and there dissolved. Then and then only will all misery be withered away. Thus the sorrow and the conflict will be wholly and deeply understood and dissolved. And the Christ of God will become a living reality in mankind. This is the only truth that sets us free. Benediction. O Eternal One, Thou art forever present. When we love Thee, we love Thy creation, for Thou art that because all is Thee. Let us learn that contradiction is ignorance, but true thinking is the path to freedom. When once we have truly seen the Christ, Thy only begotten Son, the only one in all, then we have denied all else but Thee. O Perfect One, in the bloom of my first love, I lost all sense of self. In this love for Thee, O Blessed One, we are set free.